The satisfaction of finishing your pedal board for the 38th time.
They say tone is in the hands, so use those hands to smash the like and subscribe button and your tone will improve as you watch these rig rundowns.
I can hear it now.
What a pinch harmonic.
Hey, this is John Bollinger with Premier Guitar. We're at the historic Ryman Auditorium in Nashville, Tennessee, and I'm with Jake Sinninger of Umphrey's McGee. Jake! Hey, man.
Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, God, great seeing you. And you guys are doing two nights here.
Oh, man, it's like, how much can we crunch?
Oh, yeah, right. And apparently just packed. So,
you know, I mean, what a hallowed ground to be playing our music in. So we're very blessed,
I must
say.
That's great, man. Now, I've seen, you've been a long-time G&L guy.
Yep. Since, I think I got my first G&L in 1991.
Wow.
Which was like just a black Strat. The simple version, right?
Yeah.
With the wound pickups. And then over time I realized, because my gain structure's everywhere, these S500 coils are like a P bass, right?
Oh, really?
So they're Elnico poles rather than a wound pickup. So I don't get that 60 cycle, Fender thing that I can't really work with super high gains and then say terrible power in a certain room.
Right.
So that'll be very tonight's gonna suck because I got in the sound. So these completely eliminate all that ridiculous 60 cycle hum when I have like a high gain amp going on. So really all purpose workhorse for what I have to do with this band, really.
Yeah, and you cover so much ground.
Yeah, thank you.
I mean, you guys, I love this. This gig's got to be so much fun because you get to do whatever.
Really stretch out. Well, right. Also, it comes back to I've got 5,000 records at home. So that's kind of like the flavor center.
Sure.
It's like a Baskin Robbins sort of mentality of kind of anything's possible. Where normally I don't think that works out too well for bands, but that was kind of our ethos from the beginning.
Right.
Almost an ADD rock band where we can't really sit too long on one thing.
Right. When attention deficit order goes right.
Right. It actually works for us.
Yeah,
you know?
That's great.
Yeah.
That's great. So tell me about that weirdo right there.
Back in the day, a friend of ours, a family friend, used to come out and see me at American Legions and VFWs when I was 16.
Yeah.
And I would always grab the back of the floating trim, to hit a note and grab it. And he's like, oh, you know what? Well, why don't I take some Harley tank metal and shape it to your palm? And I use it like I can hold a note against the butt of the guitar, like a Jeff Beck thing.
Yeah, yeah.
So I can instead of it being unstable like a bar, it would just go, whoa, 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 whoa. This I can go, and it's more expressive, like a vocal, vibrato wave, rather than a squiggly kind of uncertainty with the bar. Huh. So this just feels out of the way because I'm constantly moving my volume around.
Right.
So I don't have a bar in the way that I have to grab. It's kind of right there.
God, that
and it actually makes me slow down my ideas because I pick and then I go for it and let the note ring and do an operatic thing.
Yeah.
So it's kind of it changes your the format of how you approach things.
Sure.
And for chords, I can get this Bill Frisell really slow kind of out of tune thing.
Right.
And it's warbly. Because I can bend it like that, over a jazz chord or something.
Sure.
So it kind of is a cool expressive tool. And when you use it a few times, you start to feel that and hear it. So a lot of people are like, what is that good for? Well, it just sounds different than a bar.
Right.
I think it's kind of the big picture.
Yeah. And it's totally become part of your style.
Yeah, it really is.
Is this something that is commercially available to others?
Through our Umphrey's McGee website.
Oh.
And we make these sort of handmade in my hometown. And they're all kind of custom made, and they're all slightly different, which is cool because it's like a small machine shop, you know, a family-oriented thing, not like a mass production thing.
Sure, sure.
So, yeah, it's kind of a special thing that's like available to players that want that little bit of difference with the tremolo, you know?
God, it really is that's a great idea. I bet there's a bit of a learning curve.
There is. It's to make it feel right and mesh with, like, because I'm using it very fast at times.
Right, yeah.
Just for like the tail end of a sentence or something, or a paragraph.
Yeah, you know? Sure.
So it kind of like seals the deal on a passage.
Yeah.
It kind of gives it that nice shake out, you know, in a way.
Yeah, that's really clever. Yeah, let me hear a little bit of that whammy thing.
Yeah, yeah, kind of how it works with how I'm using. So see how I'm using the butt of the guitar to keep it stable?
Right.
And then that shows me what speed I could do the vibrato at, right?
Yeah, and I like how you can lock right in on a note and leave it there.
That's it's kind of like, kind of more operatic.
Sure.
More vocal-like is kind of the overall. Yeah, Jake Blade, check it out.
Yeah. Okay, cool. But other than that, all stock.
Yeah, pretty much. Gino did send me this one, and it's kind of like one of their main luthiers went through and got a really good piece of wood.
A cherry pick.
Really good. Yeah, just
B1.
Like, you know, a good neck, you know, like the winds of the wood are nice. You know, like, you know, they say in a Strat, you want like X amount of actual layers of wood right there. That's like the sign of a great Strat.
Oh.
So like kind of the more layers you have, the more taunt that neck is. If they're really loose and wide, the neck isn't going to be as stable over time. It might actually warp. So that's just one of those inside things I know.
Okay,
you know, about
I'm going to go home
neck.
And I'm going to check all my straps.
So you kind of see like the layering.
Yeah, I totally. When you mention it, I can totally
it
see
it. It creates that stability where all the tension is right here, where the neck has to gain all that pressure.
Okay.
So I noticed it just feels like a stout neck, and really like the G&Ls are so road weary. I mean, because I can be in like, you know, Seattle and then be like in the Dominican or like down south where it's like wet, watery air or super dry desert.
Yeah.
And it seems to react like the same way where other guitars seem to like flex and bend, like, oh, I gotta adjust.
Sure.
Or do whatever. So this thing stays really rock solid in just ridiculous climates and touring schedule. So.
Yeah, and you guys play, I mean, you play long, full shows.
Yeah, it's 3.5 hour kind of shows, you know.
God.
Very, very jam band.
How's your shoulder after that,
I don't think about it anymore, you know.
Yeah, right.
Put the old CBD salve,
go. Yeah, good idea. Do you usually start and end on one guitar through the night, or do you change very often?
Because of the variables of, like, there's probably 7 volume variables, and there's nothing digital.
Yeah.
So I have to kind of hand set the pedal board every day, you know, every gig, because I'll like notice a little difference in anything. So I try to, unless I break a string, which I usually don't, just play one guitar all night.
What strings are you using?
D'Addario 10s, just straight up standard. Yep. Yeah. That's what I've been using, geez, for 30 years.
Wow.
Probably straight.
Yep. And I think they sponsored this.
Yeah, they sponsored, that's right.
So, thanks guys.
Yeah, appreciate it.
And picks?
Yeah, so I'm using, let me see if I have one.
And it seems like you go between fingers and picks like
all the time. Because I'm like an old classical guitar player that turns
You get
rock.
The Berkeley thing, right?
Yeah, and like the whole, I grow these nails long, and actually most of them, but like I'm using like a 2 millimeter Telefunken pick. basically. So Telefunken and the microphone company specially makes these for me. They're really, really light.
Had no
super,
idea
super, super light. And they're beveled on the edge.
Huh.
Which is the old original Jerry Garcia pick, which
really?
Was the Ademus pick, right?
Huh.
So they got the Ademus mold, and then that stopped working, and then they had to come up with a new version, and this is like a lighter plastic. And
really?
I was like, actually, that feels better.
Huh.
Yeah, so it feels very airy and light, but then it's thick and beveled, so it rolls over the string kind of when I got to do like some speed picking or
the
something.
The real bird
and
stuff.
And you know, that slant to the pick, the bevel rolls over the string properly.
Kind of like
that, per se.
Yeah.
So yeah, I feel like the pick really has a lot to do with like keeping it the same forever.
Right.
Because it's like practicing with a wiffle ball bat if you're a major leaguer or something. It's got to feel the same, you know?
Sure, it's interesting. I was talking to somebody in a rig around the internet down the other day, how some players are very loyal.
Yeah.
To like the Jazz 3 or whatever.
Totally. Like that's the size.
Yeah.
Feel.
Yeah. They get that. And then there's other guys who like change for every
right.
song. You
yeah.
know?
They want that like an acoustic, like thin,
sure.
if they're strumming or,
yeah.
but yeah, this thing seems to sound, I guess more what they were going for with this is it sounds more like a tortoise shell.
Oh, cool.
Right. So it's a great bluegrass pick too. Cause it kind of gives you that thump
yeah.
rather than a tick.
Right.
It's probably the right vowel.
Yeah, and when you're doing that hybrid thing, it seems like the notes all seem really consistent.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, I'm thinking about that, like pressure.
Yeah.
Compared to like when I'm because I'll grab chords.
Yeah.
Like this.
Sure.
Rather than strum.
Yeah.
Because I want that piano block sound
right.
rather than
all
ring.
All at once, right.
Ring, I want block.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah, little things just kind of make all the difference with guitar, you know.
Oh,
that,
yeah, yeah, yeah. So. Little thing, yeah, nuance is what it's, isn't that funny? Like the more you play, the more nuance
it's
becomes
crazy.
Like the
it's
thing.
It's very scientific and you can never learn too much.
Yeah.
You know, is the beauty of it.
And it's like all this stuff I never even noticed years ago.
Right, right.
And then when you notice it, you can't not notice it.
It's like being a great third belt karate expert and
sure.
black belt or something.
Yeah.
You like go through these phases of understanding and learning.
Yeah.
It's very mantra based really to understanding that real spectrum of guitar, because there's just so many ways to go, right?
Oh yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Okay, so this one, number one,
yep.
and then over here, I think.
Oh, yeah, it's right here.
There we
yep.
go.
So this.
Tell me about this, a little more conventional.
Yeah, so Dave McLaren from G&L, who owns G&L company, sent me out this one. I think they only made 50 of these.
Wow.
So it was a real special piece of wood and special design pickups. So these are more coil based, but like this gives me more of that throaty real Strat sound when I'm looking for it.
Yeah,
a little more traditional, where this has more of like a rock and mid-range like bite.
Yeah.
Compared to like a fat Strat-y like scooped mid-range that a Strat kind of gives you
sure.
sometimes. So that, like that's why I kind of like this for a big contrast, but then
right.
it kind of feels the same to me.
Yeah. And does a rosewood fingerboard feel
a little bit, it does, yeah. I like the EQing sound of a maple compared to this. This is always a little darker,
yeah.
and I can hear high end and low end a little more in a maple fingerboard. It's yeah. like it's not choked
sure.
by the laminate in
oh,
a way.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
It's like the same wood.
Yeah, I do like that. Just one.
There's
chunk
a different.
Of wood.
Yeah, there's a different thing. But if I'm going for like consistency, this is a really good guitar. It stays in tune really well. I should probably play this one more live, actually. But also, the toggle switch that they have is a tele option.
Oh, I love that.
So it gives you actually like seven sounds rather than just five.
Right.
You know, so you get this really cool scooped tele mid-range sound with the bridge and the neck.
And you can get all three, right?
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
it's like the middle or like, yeah, it changes with every
yeah.
turn, right?
Oh, that's cool.
So super versatile on just consonants and vowels that you get different out of one guitar.
Yeah. Oh, that's great.
Yep.
And then you carry one backup model,
yeah, just like that, but it's rosewood neck,
oh.
so which is actually was an older guitar,
yeah.
and then he goes try out the maple. I was like, okay, and then it instantly became
yeah.
my favorite, you know.
Oh,
so it's
great.
Like it's weird when you do one little twist to something and it's like
yeah.
you find the right color for a painting.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
it works.
Yeah, then it's like, where have you been all my life?
Yeah, exactly. It's like, oh, lover guitar, thank you, lover.
Oh, that's great. That's great. Okay, so basically playing one main guitar, this one you feel like it, and a backup if you need it.
Yeah, exactly. Or if this guitar speaks to me with quiet power, you know, some it's like, wow, we got quiet power. I can use the other guitar. So that's when that change will come in.
Yeah. It's funny, man. I was listening to you guys do Roundabout the other day live, and it sounded so great on that guitar. And I wonder how Hal did it on like a, what, a 175 or something like that?
Right, right. I think it's all touch because, you know, like, I'm very much into mimicking things because we have just this huge cover list too on top of 191 original songs.
Yeah.
So it's just like this amount of like chameleon, you know, like guitar players. So I love that challenge of like trying to go for Randy Rhoads, trying to go for Eddie Van Halen, Stevie Ray.
Right.
And all those guys are so cut in their cloth.
Right.
So, and it's hard to
emulate that on one guitar. It's kind of amazing.
So it's very much like a premeditation to really make it sound and feel right.
Yeah. You know? Well, I love that. I love that cover so much because it was true to it, but had your own like
a little kinda fingerprint to it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, very
like where
cool.
Even if I'm doing, you know, Kid Charlemagne solo, I don't want to play it exactly like Larry Carlton or anything else like that. I'll add a little few of my notes in there, but really stay true to the form.
Yeah.
And that just kind of keeps it real for what I'm doing. I don't want to be like exact.
Sure.
But I'll nail the feel. I think it's kind of what I'm going for. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, and does Carlton ever play it like that?
Right. I wish
he
I could do
it once.
Yeah. True. And it was like first take something,
right.
You know? It's like,
It took three more, kept the first one.
Amazing. Gotta love that guy.
Oh, God. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, let's talk amps.
Yeah.
What's
going
on back here?
All right, so Custom Schroeder, Tim Schroeder out of Chicago, Illinois.
Mm.
Basically, this is probably one of 10 heads.
Wow.
And
What's it comparable to?
It's like playing through like a Macintosh amplifier, but it's got like Dumble quality. So it's all these things that you're looking for, like clarity, power, consistency and speed to the speaker.
Yeah.
So it's all like gold braided cabling inside, military spec. It's just really intense on the inside of this. Very high dollar amp. And I know Wilco uses these pretty exclusively
Cool.
Yeah. So it's my main clean side because I have two amps, kind of A and B, right? They never play at the same time. So this is kind of my main clean sound, which I can just get this like really bossy Stevie Ray Vaughan thing.
Sure.
It has that little bit of sparkle and distortion, but it's still clean.
Yeah, yeah. You know? Yeah, like Lenny.
Yeah, looking for fat strattiness, you know, like totally. Because, you know, these guitars are naturally thin sounding.
Sure.
So you have to, so I'm hitting the front of the amp really hard with my gain variables, but then it pretty much does the work after that. Okay. And I'm leaving like even the EQ like flat.
It's totally flat.
It's like I notice whenever I change something, it's just, it sounds good flat.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I love that. That is very OCD, just straight
up. Yeah, and I'm like surprised because my ear's pretty like reactionary to problems. And I'm like, why does this sound so good flat? So we just leave it
perfect.
There.
Perfect, yeah. Yeah. Great. Okay, and the cab, what?
Yeah, so it's a Schroeder cab also. And
do you know what it's loaded with?
I believe it's their custom design speakers by Schroeder because he's just an audio genius engineer. And he's like, oh, yeah, you want to put these speakers with this head? And I'm like, okay, you tell me what to do, you know?
Right.
So, and I trust his judgment. He's just a total genius. He's the guy that would work on, like, Jimi Hendrix's Univibe for a rich doctor that has it.
Wow.
You know, it's like a million-dollar pedal. You know? So he's a point-to-point spec guy who, like, that's why the inside, the guts of that amp are just off the charts. Really. Yep.
A proper nerd genius.
Big time, big time. People
good.
I like, you know.
Yeah, you need them.
Yeah, and then, you know, SM9 is what our front of house guy, Coach, decided sounded really good on the cab. So I'm like, yeah, use your ear. Use what flavor you think should be there.
Sure.
So I kind of, occasionally I'll go like this. And then he'll get upset.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's like, it's like, who touched
my
mic?
Like, I hear frequency wrong.
Yeah.
You know. And then the Oldfield is kind of my Marshall-y side, kind of rectifier side.
Yeah.
Kind of like plexi side. So this thing's set basically to just go jin, 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 jin. Right.
Right.
So it's my Metallica switchover.
Yeah.
And like I said, none of these are on at the same time. It's always an A,
you know,
B.
That makes sense because, like I said, your tone, you're very so wildly.
Yeah, I want contrast, yeah. Right? Like instantaneous contrast. Yeah. So that A, B thing really gives me like super glassy, like, jazz chord, and then I can go right. And then go right back to like a glassy clean, you
yeah
know?
Unleash hell,
yeah, and then go. And then go to heaven,
yeah,
you know,
right.
Kind of thing,
yeah.
And then so okay, the Oldfield is made by Paul Gussler from he's out in like North Carolina, again another like small boutique guy who like loved our band 25 years ago and was like, I'm gonna make you that specific amp.
Wow.
So it's basically a one of one.
Oh, it's great.
It's called the JC100, which yeah, would be like,
go.
Right? So I'm like, I'm pretty lucky to have this sort of thing.
Yeah.
Again, he made the cab. And then that's loaded with those classic like Electrovoice.
Oh, wow.
Right, drivers, because yeah. I want them to react more like a bass guitar speaker.
Sure.
Instead of it being like floppy. I want
yeah.
it to be very fast with a the vibration of that speaker. I don't want it moving. I want it being tight like a driver almost.
Wow.
Yeah. So little things like that just make it all make sense in my musical world, you know, in that
sure.
sense. Yeah.
So in the 26 years that you've been doing this, I bet your amp situation has changed quite a bit.
Yeah, yeah, it has. I mean, but this lineup has been about 10 years now.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
God, that's
so
great.
A lot of the stuff I have had, I've kind of like, well, I've found the holy grail yeah. for what I need, so I'm just going to stick with it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, good for you. Yeah.
yeah.
Once you find it.
Yeah, it's
yeah.
like, I'm tired of searching now.
Yeah.
You know, I've searched all my life for
yeah.
like this. I'm
yeah.
blessed, you know.
Yeah.
it's like
yeah.
we're good.
Yeah, that's great. Okay, so before we get into pedals, I want to hear just a quick A-B of the amps.
Yeah. So say if I'm, example, I'm going. Oops, I accidentally hit the other one. So again, I'll go like.
Oh, right? That is so hip,
quite
man.
Contrasty.
Oh, yeah.
You know? Yeah.
Yeah, that's great. And there's, I don't know if you could ever do it. You couldn't do it on one amp.
No, it has to be like, yeah. you can't do that with a pedal, I
yeah.
feel, to get that sound.
Okay.
I mean, some of the things get close, but
okay,
yeah.
well, let's speak of pedals. And you said you and your dad made this pedal board?
Yeah, yeah, in my dad's shop. And
oh,
this
great.
Was this pedal board's like 25 years old, literally.
Vintage.
Right. right, and I would just like slowly switch stuff out.
Right.
And replace stuff that I didn't like with something that I got new. And it's just been this sort of like constant world changing in this pedal board sequence. So.
Well, show me some of your favorite sounds.
Yeah,
kind of some
yeah.
key things.
So basically my straight up clean tone, this
yeah.
is the Fuchs Plush compressor,
huh.
and then that's on, and then the Cold Fusion Overdrive, the Banzai, is always on.
Really?
So I shape it, and that's where I get the juiciness. That's without it.
Wow.
I'm actually pushing the amp that hard.
It's so, an overdrive, but there's no real drive
just
there.
A little bit if I dig in. So I got like dynamics,
yeah,
right? When I'm digging in.
Thing.
Yeah, totally. That's kind of what I'm going. So those two are on all the time with the Mesa EQ.
Okay.
All right? That's my clean sound.
Okay.
Okay, still in the Schroeder. Here's just my basic rhythm when I don't want Metallica.
Yeah.
All right, now here's my main lead, like it's a David Gilmour, the Earth Drive and the Fuzz Bucket combined.
Okay.
Right, so it's kind of explosive,
yeah.
But then it's got the Eric Johnson like fuzz where it can track each note really well. So I'm kind of going with that. And then my delay is 5. And I can. Right, so it gives me a little bit of. And then this true bypass switch keeps, unless I have it engaged, it keeps everything in true bypass mode, basically.
Oh, that's great.
All right, and then I've got the classic. Right, the Mind Bender chorus.
Hard to beat that one.
Which is a BBE, right?
Yeah, sure.
Owned by G&L. Okay, and then.
Oh, really? I didn't understand.
Yeah, yeah. They bought the rights to. So here's my weird effects.
That was a good purchase.
That's got a super shifter. That's basically this whole line of pedals.
Okay.
All tied into one spot, and then I can make minor adjustments.
Okay.
So it gives me like this 12 string thing,
yeah.
Right? Okay, and then the phaser's the last. Classic phase shift. Okay, and that's pretty much my sound with the wah. Any of that could go on. Okay, here's the one thing I'm doing with the other side, the old field side, which is mainly like this pedal board.
Okay.
Okay, so I got my A-B selector. I've got my smart gate in case I have a real issue with buzz.
Sure.
And then the Hot British kind of acts like an amp head. So I can really sculpt that particular jink that I want,
is
right?
Is that kind of an on all the
That's
time?
That's on all the time, yes.
Okay.
Right, so it gives me that quick, and then I'm getting that good stuff through scooping the tone bone.
Oh,
right?
Okay.
Yeah, and that's pretty basic. And then really what I go into first, the secret ingredient, is the steel guitar black box.
Yeah,
right?
I've seen a few people use it. What does it do?
It's like a mastering agent for your pickups. So I can add like air. An air band to my clean sound or whatever I'm going through. So it's really subtle, but it has a lot to do with the top end cutting through like 10,000 kilohertz and above.
Huh.
So it gives me this like smack, and it's all tube driven. So
when
I dig in, it gives me color.
Yeah.
So really, this is a Frankenstein sort of situation that just happens to work for what I'm doing in the long run.
But it's like, you know, 26 years in development.
Yeah, it is. And some of these pedals are that old too. Yeah, so the Fuzz Bucket's basically a one-off custom job a friend of mine in Alabama made, and it sounded like David Gilmour. Had that squishy like, wah, when you hit one note, and it was so fat. And then I just combine it with the Earth Drive just to kind of like shape it and color it a bit. So I'm constantly like, which order should that go in?
Sure.
It's a constant game of experimentation there.
Man, it is dialed in. Well, hey, this has really been fun. Yeah,
thank you so much.
Yeah, we're going to go talk to your bandmate now.
Oh, look out. He's trouble. Okay.
Hey, y'all, I'm John Bollinger with Premier Guitar. So our rig rundowns for a long time now have been sponsored by D'Addario. And I'm thrilled to be using the D'Addario Expand pedal board. I've got this little guy that fits in my gig bag, and like many of you, I'm changing pedals all the time. Love having a board that can shrink as I'm shrinking my board or expand as I'm expanding it. And that's why I love the Expand pedal board. Their patented telescoping technology lets me instantly change the size of my pedals playground. It also features a unique cable management system and comes fitted with loops of Velcro, keeping everything neat and easy to swap. The two Expand versions comes with either one or two rows, depending on your needs. So a big thanks to D'Addario. Now, let's get back to more rig rundowns. All right, now we're with Brendan Bayless. Brendan, hey, thanks so much for being here.
Thanks for having me.
So tell me about this guitar.
Well, this is a Paul Reed Smith. It's the Mark Tremonti version. But I asked them to give me a blank plate for it. No disrespect to Tremonti, it's more of a Scott Stapp thing.
Sure.
all of them are unlabeled, but it's the Tremonti version.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, great. And you tour with a couple of them, right?
Yeah. This one's Miss Lucy. And then there's basically an identical one in the boat, and I also have a McCarty that has the single coil when you pop the volume.
Sure. Do you find yourself staying on one guitar for the entire night?
Yeah. Yeah, because I think once I'm dialed for the day, yeah, I don't want to mess with it.
Sure.
It's just like, okay, yeah, we're good.
Right.
But this one is a little hotter. And the other one, when I switch pickups, it's a little bit of a difference. So for the most part, unless like there's an open tuning or a drop D, whatever I sound check with that day is what I'm going to use that
night. That's the one. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, totally makes sense. And what strings are you using?
I'm using the Diodario 10 XLs, yeah, I believe.
Oh, those are great.
Yeah. And before, when I had to change strings on my own, I was lazy. I'd go like 3 or 4 gigs and then would...
Sure. Long gigs.
Yeah. And now our guitar tech, Robbie, changes them every day. And knock on wood... I haven't broken a string in a while.
Oh, that's great.
But watch it happen tonight.
Yeah, right. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, right, right. And picks, what are you using?
It's a Telefunken 2mm.
Okay.
And I'm not sure if they make them anymore. So I've got like 5 or 6 of them and they're all starting to round down and get really...
Oh, really?
Yeah. So sometimes if you rotate it, it'll be brighter. And then down here... there's less trouble because it's rolled off because, yeah, it's just an old pick.
Sure.
But it's the 2mm. Once I switched from the floppy, you know, seventh grade pick, even though I didn't play guitar in seventh grade, now I can't go back.
Yeah.
I sat in with somebody once and all they had was, I think it was like a 0.5mm. And I didn't know what to do with myself.
Yeah.
You get used to what you get used to. Right, it's like, right, comfort zone.
Oh, yeah. And that's a huge, huge part of it. Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah, it eliminates thinking.
Sure.
Which you think, yeah, you stink.
It's true. Yeah, thinking does kind of undermine the whole deal.
Gets in the way.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Amp-wise, tell me what's going on back here.
Amp-wise, we've got the Mesa Boogie Lone Star. And... this goes to one cabinet with Celestion 12s, and the old field is—it's a kind of a custom made. He kind of made it to sound like the Lone Star.
Okay.
So I could blend them at the same time.
Oh, okay.
And that's Paul Gussler, out of Charlotte, North Carolina.
Okay. And you run them at the same time.
At the same time.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Are you doing like stereo things between them, or?
No. I'm pretty lazy. Mm-hmm. I'm more of like the singer.
Okay.
So.
Well, I mean, you're a great guitar player as well. But.
Thank you. Yeah. I try. Yeah. I've not gotten into that. I used to have a digital board and everything. And once things crash and you lose presets and you're on stage in front of a bunch of people, it's like getting out of a swimming pool with shrinkage.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I just like to simplify so that way it's easy to fix on the fly.
Sure. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Which brings us to your pedal board.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So the first thing that goes in the chain is the Steel Guitar Black Box, which is kind of a vacuum preamp. Jake's got one, I believe. Yeah. He's got
one. Yeah. Yeah.
It's like a tube vacuum preamp that just... It kind of adds a little bit of a drive, but for the most part, it's just a generous, forgiving, warming tone.
Oh, cool.
That, I mean, you can play with, I've played without it before, and I notice it more when it's gone.
Oh, okay.
You know what I mean?
Right, yeah.
It's just kind of like a safety blanket.
Yeah.
Then from the black box, it goes to the tuner, which...
Sure.
Believe it or not, is very important because... when you're talking and you forget.
Oh, yeah.
And you want to be in tune.
Yeah.
From there, it goes to the Keeley compressor, and that is always on. And I try and get it to a level where if I turn it off, it's the same level as if it's on.
Okay.
So it's not, I'm not using it as like a boost, but it's just set it and forget it.
Sure.
And then that goes to this Audio Blend EQ, which our old front of house guy, Chris Mitchell, gave to me. A friend of his from Australia. I don't know if this was the prototype from years ago, but it's an EQ, but it also has drive on it, so you can crank it and it's, you can use it as a boost. But for me, sometimes if I need a little more bass or a little more treble or a little less of each, I'll go to there instead of the amp.
Okay.
It's like a global.
Sure.
So once I can get that going, that's basically the black box, the compressor, and the audio blend are like always on, always clean. then the wah that is doesn't have a click, which I love.
Yeah.
Because I don't know if in the past you've ever been playing, you can't tell if you click it on or off. And
right.
It's like screechy high end.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. So this one does it for you.
Yeah, that's great. Oh, yeah, great.
The Morley. And this is, it's like the Bad Horsey, but it's like the smaller version.
Okay.
They have an even smaller one, but the original Jake, I think, still has. That thing is bulky.
Yeah.
But it sounds great. Yeah, lead one, is, I think of it as a rhythm one.
Okay.
Keep that pretty much in line with the level, so if I'm clean or dirty, it won't mess with me because I'm singing usually. That's a little overdriven, more than normal right now.
So that's the MXR modified OD.
Yep.
Okay.
And then the Cusack Screamer I'll use for lead. You can hear it's a little. That's a little more like a. I won't use it for rhythm at all. I'll just use it if I'm playing like a line or a solo. And then the Little Timmy MXR is like a third option. I'll use that probably if it needs more low end. I haven't set these yet today, but
that
one
right.
On a level will be kind of think of this as 0, 1, 2.
Okay.
And this should be the loudest. Right now it's not, but we'll fix that later. But that one has a nice bass option that you can roll in or out that makes it a very different sound than the other one.
Do you ever stack them up with all three?
It's all about the electricity in the room.
Oh, really?
So like, not tonight.
Yeah. Right?
But sometimes the MXRs you can stack, but not tonight.
Yeah, not tonight, okay.
And then from there I'm going into a Cusack, he's out of Michigan. It's a Tapperwhirl. So it's essentially like a, I love this guy. It's kind of like a Leslie. And if you hold it down, it'll slow it down. Or if you take it off and now it'll speed it up. So you can kind of play with the speed as you're playing. Or you can just tap tempo it. So I use that a lot. It's a good, it's a little nice way to end a song.
Oh,
like
yeah.
Like on the very last chord, just be like. So from there, the distortions go to effects. And the first one is an octave. Just
cool.
A straight octave. I don't have any distortion or anything on that because you can do. So, I use that whenever the bass player, Ryan, is playing something that is annoying to me. I'll just play the bass.
Sure. Yeah.
And then from here is a Boss Chorus. Kind of going for like an Andy Summers.
Yeah.
You know, so I'll use that a lot for solos, just to give it a little more bite. It's not like a volume boost or anything, but. The chorus pedal, then the MXR phaser. I think you always have to have a phaser for like the funk stuff. And then when you throw that octave on it. And then this is a slapback delay. So this one is, I can use it with the foot and that can now be a lead.
Oh, sure.
But I usually leave it here so it's like a slapback kind of thing, which I think with the octave and that phaser, kind of gives it a synth vibe.
Yeah, so it's like a video game.
Yeah.
Like an 80s video game.
Yeah, it's like,
I love it. Yeah. Nailed it.
That kind of vibe.
Yeah.
And then, so that's the first delay. It's a Stigtronix. And that goes to the H9, which is kind of like, it's got everything in it. If you're willing to take the time and get the app on your phone, you can layer. So I have it in an order that I like.
Yeah.
And then over here I have a list of 32 presets that I've kind of.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So I can, if the song requires whatever, because my memory's not what it used to be, so now I just have 32. If I need more than 32, there's a problem.
Yeah, right. That's great,
but
man.
But it's got a cool, like, the very first one I'll use, it's just like a soundscape thing.
Yeah. No, that's great.
So it's, you can kind of be in the background and not really annoying anybody.
Sure.
But it's got a lot of different, like, I'll use this one a lot, which is a... Think of the edge, right?
You're totally. Yeah.
So that one goes to the delay. This is a Boss. I don't think they make it anymore. The DD20, but you could. It's got four presets when you hold the memory, and each preset is like, this is kind of like a lead one. This is a very different one. Some of those are presets to songs, so I just have the tempo already.
Sure.
And then if you hold it down, it now becomes a tap tempo for anything. So. So it's, sometimes I'll have this delay and that delay on at the same time. Not all the time. And then from there, I'm going to the AB. This is a Mesa Boogie. This is a solo boost, or to the activate the distortion channel in here.
Sure.
But it only hits these two speakers so far. So sometimes I'll only use it if it's like everybody's going.
Yeah.
And I need that push over the cliff.
Sure.
And then this is the AB, so I can kind of alternate between what amp is, I guess. It's really up to Coach. Our front of house guy, I kind of get out of the way.
Yeah.
I just, here's what you have to work with.
Right.
Be
so
forgiving.
With most of your pedals kind of being not huge jumps in volume, are you working your volume on guitar for?
A little bit.
Yeah.
Usually it's about here, about 9.
Yeah.
And then if I need, I'll save it for the solo. Yeah. But then that's why this one is the same as a clean. This one's a little bit more, and this one's a little bit more.
Sure.
And if I really need one, then this solo is set to whatever.
Yeah, jumpy
2 dB
up there.
Maybe. Yeah. I try and stay really close. I don't like.
Yeah.
I don't like jumping all over the place.
Yeah. Well, it sounds great, man, and you guys are gonna have a blast here tonight, man.
I mean, this is the rhyme.
Right, yeah.
Right?
Yeah, you'll be to hear yourself a week from now, still bouncing around.
That's amazing, right? Right. Yeah, this room is beautiful.
Yeah.
So, yeah, well, that's it. Pretty straightforward, pretty simple. I like to be able to isolate the problem when something happens.
Sure.
And with this way, you can figure it out quickly and troubleshoot it live.
Yeah, and it's great, you can just get down and tweak as you go, because you guys are so jammy. Mm-hmm. You know.
Yeah.
You can call an audible at any time.
Exactly.
Yeah, great. Well, hey man, thanks so much for seeing us today.
Thank you. I appreciate it, man.
Till next time, y'all.
The Expand Pedal Power Battery Kit is the ultimate solution for gigging musicians who rely on pedals to shape their sound, giving you drop-and-go rechargeable power that's always clean, quiet, and reliable.